you so much for this night. I thank you for your presence, God. I just ask that you open up our hearts and our minds to what you have for us tonight. God, take me out of the equation. And God, just speak through your servant tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. My title of the message is called, What's That Noise? What's That Noise? There are many noises all around us. We wake up in the morning and the first noise that I hear is my alarm going off. The beep, beep, beep. I still have that because that's the only sound that seems to really jolt me in the morning. And actually I have three of them on my phone because I don't always get up on my first alarm. So I have to set three every 15 minutes. And that's the first noise that I hear in the morning. And then I get up, I go downstairs and just the noise begins, you know. Aaron, did you make coffee? Mom, where are my track socks? Mom, I don't want to wear that. Can you guess who says what? Mom, you know, like, that was Ben. Yeah, I don't want to wear that, Aaron. And, you know, there's just noise and questions going on, you know, from the moment that we wake up. And then I get in the car and I turn on the radio and there's just noise all around. And if you ever go into a store, there's background noise. There's people talking. If you ever go into Hollister, if you have a teenager, there's so much noise you have to walk out of the store because you can't even think correctly. This is how I know I'm getting older. If you go into a restaurant, there's music being played. There's people talking. There's so much noise. And if you ever go into a restaurant with Pastor Marty, he'll ask the waiter or waitress to turn down the noise, to turn down the music so that we can actually talk to each other. And there's just so much noise all around us. And then you go on Facebook, any social media platform, there's just noise. There's people and things just telling you what to do and how to do it. And you turn on the TV, there's so much noise. You open your email, there's just so much noise. And our minds are filled with all this noise that we don't actually hear the voice that we need to hear on a daily basis. It's like this constant game of Marco Polo. And we're going, Marco, we're trying to find God. And God's going, Polo, but we can't hear him because there's so much noise in our lives. And God's voice should be the number one sound that we hear every day. Isaiah 55:3 says, give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. One version says, incline your ear. Turn your ear to me. Listen. He says, listen to me. And we all are able to hear and learn how to hear the voice of God through all of the noise. I want to read a story out of 1 Samuel tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 3. And we're going to talk about a boy named Samuel. Now, Hannah was Samuel's mom. Hannah wanted a baby so very bad, and she couldn't get pregnant. God had closed her womb, the Bible says. And so Hannah one night just got desperate, and she cried out to God. She said, God, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. No razor will be on his head, and he will be yours. And that's exactly what happened. God gave her a son, and when it was time, she brought him to the temple. And the Bible says that he was young, right? That she had to wean him off before she could bring him to the temple. And so any research that I've done, he was anywhere between 8 and 12 when he was brought through the temple. Nevertheless, it was very young. You know, he was a tween. And he's living in the temple underneath the priest Eli. And so we pick up this story in chapter 3, where he's already been in the temple for a while. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli, and he said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went back to lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. I'd be like, you better go back to bed and quit bothering me, right? Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then the Lord said, "Speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening." Could you imagine that being your first encounter with God? Like, that's pretty intense, right? As a young boy, too. So a few points that I just want to come out and talk about this story. The first one is, it doesn't matter your age or your stage. God wants to speak to us. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 8, 18, 68, 108. God wants us to learn how to hear his voice. The Bible says, "And after I will pour out my spirit on all people." He's no respecter of persons. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." Young and old, he wants to speak to us. Then it says in 1 Timothy, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and impurity." I think even in our 20s, I'm way past that, but even when we're young in our 30s, we think that we're too young to hear God's voice. We think, you know, we see the more mature, we see the even more mature in Christ, and we're like, okay, well, God can speak to them, but he's not going to speak to me. But right here, God spoke to an 8-year-old little boy. He's no respecter of persons. And then it says, "But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green." God wants us to learn how to hear his voice no matter what age we are and no matter what stage of life that we are in. We can tune in to his voice. Another thing that I found in the story was Samuel didn't recognize God's voice at first. Three times he went into Eli because he didn't know who it was. He thought Eli was talking to him. And being Eli, if I was him, and my son is a great procrastinator at night. He is a great staller. He'll come into the living room about 5 or 6 times, like just like, "All right, I'm going to bed." "Yeah, you're going to bed." And he walks away. He'll come back in again. "I just want to give you a hug." We're like, "Yeah, okay, go to bed," you know? And I kind of thought that in this story, like, man, from Eli's perspective, this boy just kept bothering him. But see, what happened was Eli recognized something that was happening to Samuel that Samuel did not. We need mentors in our life that can help us discern God's voice in our life. We need people in our life to help us figure out what exactly God is saying. And a good mentor, a godly mentor, it will never contradict God's word. God, it will never contradict this. When you hear God talk and it has nothing to do with what's in the word, then it definitely was the pizza you ate last night. That wasn't God. But if you hear God speak and you go up to a godly man or a woman and they confirm something that's already in here and they confirm that in your life, then that was God. But sometimes we don't recognize it on our own. We need somebody in our life to help us discern the voice of God in our life. The Bible says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We need to entrust these to faithful men. Then Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." We don't understand God's will or his ways sometimes. And we can hear something and be totally oblivious to it, like Samuel was. He needed Eli to point him in the right direction. And then another verse says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel." Who are you going to that is wise in God, that has years of knowing God's word? We can't do it by ourselves. And then in Titus 2:3-4, it says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved in too much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. It works both ways. We need somebody to go to, but then as we get older, we need to help the people that are coming up and growing up in God. We need to have both things happening in our lives. We need people. We need mentors in our life to help us. Another thing that I recognized in the story was we need to be humbly ready for God to speak. Humbly ready. In verse 9, Eli told Samuel, "If God speaks to you again." That's a little word that makes a really big difference. He didn't say when God speaks to you again. He said, if God speaks to you again. And that word tells me that Eli had enough wisdom to know that God didn't have to speak to Samuel again. And he was showing Samuel that he had to be humble. He couldn't go back and be like, yeah, God's going to speak to me again. All right, I'm ready now. He had to go back in reverence and lay back down and say, okay, Eli said, if God speaks to me, I'm going to be ready. We need to humble ourselves, the Bible says, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. And then the Bible says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. If he speaks to you again, we need to be humbly available for God to speak to us again, not expecting it, but be humble in his presence and wanting that in a very humble way. And then I learned and I saw that we have to listen for it. In that same verse, Eli says to Samuel, go for when, and when the, if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. For your servant is listening. The Bible says to call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known in Jeremiah 33. We all can learn how to hear God's voice through all of the noise. The Bible says in John 8:47, and this is how I know that we can hear God's voice. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. When I read that, I was like, oh, dang. Do you know how many times and seasons in my life that I've said, I'm just not hearing from God? Everyone else hears from God. I don't hear from God. Why don't I hear from God? That's so stupid. I don't hear from God. Why are you talking to them? Why aren't you talking to me? And then I read that and I was like, oh, okay. The reason you don't hear from me, Aaron, is because you don't belong to me. And I began to think about that. I really began to think about that because what we belong to is what we give our attention to. What we belong to is what we give our attention to. What we belong to is what we give our attention to. What has your attention? What has your attention? Is it the situation that you're going through? Does that get all of your attention? Is it a problem at work that gets all of your attention? Is it the diagnosis that gets all your attention? Is it family problems that get all your attention? What has your attention? Because that is the main reason that we don't hear from God, is because we belong to other things. We belong to, and sometimes those things aren't even bad. Sometimes those things are our family. Sometimes those things are church-related things. But we invest too much in belonging to those things that we're not giving our attention to God. We're just showing up. But our attention truly isn't on God. And he says, if you belong to me, you're going to hear me. What has your attention tonight? What are you belonging to? And whatever you're belonging to, what are they saying? Do you ever hear anyone say we hear what we want to hear? Selective hearing. Selective hearing. My kids, they can, you know, we can tell them from across the house, you know, go clean your room, do this, do that. They don't hear us. But we say, oh, let's go for ice cream. They're there. Selective hearing. We need to be selective in what we give our attention to. We need to be selective in hearing God's voice. We need to tune in. We need to change the dial on our station. I have these headphones, and Pastor Matthew Barnett does an awesome one about tuning out. I'm going to talk to you about tuning in, because we need to put our holy headphones on. We need to tune in, ready, to WGOD. We need to turn the radio, and we need to tune in to WGOD. We need to know what God is saying to our lives, and we need to tune into it. We need to give our attention to the things that God has for us, not the things that everybody else, not. We don't give our attention to other things. We give our attention to God, and in return, God's going to talk to us. He's going to speak for us. He's going to help us to know what direction to go. What's the next step? Will you give your attention to God? He's going to tell you the next step. He's going to speak to your life in that way. He's going to tell you how to handle a situation because your attention is on him. You're tuning in. You're dialing in to what his word is saying to you. John 10:3-4 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. What happens when we don't know our Father's voice? We get upset. We get distracted. We think we're doing everything right. But really, we're not hearing the true voice. And if we really belong to God, we know the shepherd's voice. We know what he's saying. And some of us get distracted. God is calling us to follow him, to do the right thing, to lay some things aside, to give him our attention. And we keep going the other way. What's distracting you from really knowing God's voice? What's stopping you from knowing who your shepherd is? Because we need to know the voice. I mean, right now, the world is so jacked up. If we don't tune in, if we don't find the voice of our shepherd, we're going to be lost. We need to tune in. We need to dial in to the voice of God. Now, more than any time that I've ever, in my 39 years of living, now we need to tune in. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Do you know where Samuel was when he heard the voice of God? This is good. It says that one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was laying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. The presence of God back in the day dwelled in the Ark of the Covenant. Samuel was laying next to the Ark of God. He was close to God's voice. He was close to God's Spirit. He was close to the presence of God. That's how Samuel was able to hear his voice. He was close to him. Are you close to God tonight? Are you tuning in? Are you pushing in for his presence? Samuel was lying right next to the Ark of the Covenant of God, and he heard his voice. That's where God's presence was, and that's when God spoke to him. We need to be so close to God that we know when he's speaking, that we hear his voice. We need to get closer to him every day. There shouldn't be a day that goes by that yesterday we were closer to God than today. We need to be close to God every morning that we wake up. We should be closer to him than we were yesterday, and we're going to be able to hear his voice. I read this story. And I don't know if it's true. You know, it was on the internet. Everything's true on the internet. But man, when I read it, it was so powerful to me. So I'm going to read it to you. Back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went into the office address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, busy office filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter the inner office. The young man filled out the form and sat down with seven other applicants in the waiting area. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They assumed that the young man who went into the office made a mistake and would be disqualified. Within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled." The other applicants began to grumble to each other, and one spoke up saying, "Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job. That's not fair." The employer said, "I'm sorry, but the whole time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, and the job is his." We live in a world that's full of busy, full of clatter, full of noise. Like that office, that guy knew what to tune into. He knew what to listen for. And how many times do we go through life and God's speaking to us, but we don't know what to listen for? We're not tuned in to what he's saying. How many opportunities have we missed because we don't hear it? We're just sitting in the waiting room, God speaking to us. And then we see somebody else come in and we're like, "Wait, what's going on?" They heard it. They heard God's voice and they're going after it. What has your attention tonight? What do you belong to? God's speaking continually to you, to us. We just have to give him our attention. We have to make sure that we're close to him, close to his presence. We have to tune our ear to what he's saying so that we recognize his voice the minute that he speaks. It's your turn to say Marco, but then you have to tune in because God's saying Polo. I thought of this song when I was getting ready for tonight, and I just kept, there's a million songs that could probably go along with this message, but this is the one that just really struck me. So I asked Ryan to sing it. And as he's singing it, just, you can worship if you want, just close your eyes and just really think about who has your attention tonight. Because that's when you're going to hear God's voice, is when God has your attention. The first line of this song says, "I will be the one who worships all of my attention." Is that the truth tonight for you? Are you going to be the one that's going to give God all of your attention? Are you going to be the one that truly belongs to God so that you know his voice, so that you're able to do what he's asked you to do? You can close your eyes, and Ryan's going to sing it tonight, and just really think about that.
I will be the one who worships all of my attention. I want to be the one you're looking for. Are you looking for someone to love you? You know my heart is with you. I want to be the one you're looking for.
Thank you.
When we're finally face to face, all I want to hear you say is, "I've been the one you're looking for." I call you Jesus, your every answer. There's no confusion about who you are to me. I lift my hands to tell what my heart says, a love that goes deeper, and not a word can explain. Oh, I call you Jesus, your every answer. There's no confusion about who you are to me.
As he sings it again, if you need prayer for anything, just come on down. I encourage you to stand up and just worship him, and then we're going to pray and you can be dismissed. But really think about what has your attention tonight as we sing it one more time.
I will be the one who worships all of my attention. I want to be the one you're looking for. Are you looking for someone to love you? You know my heart is with you. I want to be the one you're looking for. When we're finally face to face, all I want to hear you say is I've been the one you're looking for. I call you Jesus, you're every answer. There's no confusion about who you are to me.
Some of others, you need to come down here tonight. Just receive this tonight.
Tell what my heart says, love that goes deep, not a word can explain
his name.
I call you Jesus, you're every answer. There's no confusion about who you are to me.
I lift
my hands to tell what my heart says. Love that goes deep, not a word can explain.
Thank you, Lord God. Father, tonight, even while I'm praying now, for some of you just need a breakthrough in your life, come on down. Let the Lord touch you and minister to you. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord, tonight. We thank you, Lord. There's just a couple more. You probably need to make your way down here. Let God help you. He wants to lift you out of where you're at and move you to a new level, to a new place. God, I just want to thank you tonight for your power in this house. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant that has been faithful to deliver your word tonight. I pray, Lord, for each one that is here, Lord, that they will hear your voice and follow after you. Bring the right people in to their lives. Lord, escort the wrong ones out, I pray. Show the wrong ones this is not their group. I pray, Lord, tonight, as you are doing what you do so well, that you would bring great victory and bring great hope to each and every person here tonight, God. Thank you, Lord. There's great anointing. There's great power in here right now. Jennifer, come here. Cheryl, come down. So come right down here and begin to pray for these down here. There's great power.